You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we talk about Wisconsin's drunkest cities, Waukesha's water plan, and more for our Wisconsin News Roundup.
First, saying you need a coffee break while you're at work might just mean taking a couple of minutes to run out and grab a coffee before drinking that coffee at your desk while you keep on working.
But in Sweden, there's fika. It's a whole ritual revolving around taking a break and enjoying a coffee and a snack. It allows you to unplug and relax and catch up with the people around you.
Join us now to talk about fika and some traditional foods you can find at a Swedish shop or make yourself. We'll have some recipes. We have Johanna Kinvall and Anna Bronis. Johanna is an illustrator and a food blogger. Anna is a food writer and a blogger. Together, they co-wrote the new book. It's called Fika, the Art of the Swedish Coffee Break. Johanna, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
All right, Anna, we gave a little taste of it there, but can you give us a little more detail? What is this, and are we saying it right? Fika, F-I-K-A.
Yeah, you've got your Swedish down pat. So fika is can be used as a verb. It can also be used as a noun. So you can fika, you can take a fika, you can have a fika. And it's basically just a Swedish coffee break. So most often that's coffee with something to go with it. That can be a sweet item like a cinnamon roll or cardamom bun, or sometimes it can even be a savory thing like an open-faced sandwich paired with a cup of coffee.
And Johanna, it sounds as though the Swedish version of fika is not simply the food and the coffee. It's also almost a ritual. It's a kind of a way of life that hits the pause button where people really get to relax with each other or by themselves. How would you describe that part of it?
That's totally right. And if you work in an office, it's they often have a break in the morning and in the afternoon. And it's a way to, walk away from your desk and talk with your co-workers. It could be about anything, really. Most of the time, they don't talk really about the work, or it's more about, what are you doing this weekend, or what's the latest TV show, and so on. And it also makes you put your focus on something else for a while, and I believe that you work better when you go back to your desk.
Anna, you're Swedish-American. Now, here in the United States, on this show, we tend to eat lunch working at our desk, eat our snacks at the desk, drink our coffee at a desk. Can this successfully translate into the United States?
Yeah, well, I think that we've seen a lot of change in coffee culture in the U.S., in the last 10 years or so. And I think we have a more of an embrace of a slower coffee lifestyle with the rise of more cafes where people do go to sit down. And I think that we're all sort of in need of something to get us to slow down. And I think we should also keep in mind that, Sweden is in no way a country where, everyone takes these long breaks. If you go to Stockholm and you go to busy city centers, of course people are working a lot, and you may not find that they're slowing down a lot, but I think there is this sort of embrace of, even if it's just for a few minutes, but just kind of take a step back and take a moment to just take a time out really from what you're doing and slow down. And I think we really want that here in the States, so I see no reason why we can't be doing more of it.
And Johanna, what do you think it is that's special about the food and drink aspect of fika? So it sounds very simple. It's a coffee break, right? You have a cup of coffee, maybe you have a sweet roll. What makes this a little more special?
I think it's, you can do it by yourself, but you can also do it with others. But and most times you do it with others. But I think the special thing is that you start doing something else. You go away. I mean, if you're out shopping with a friend, you can sit down and have a break and have a fika. It's also sometimes also like the neighbor comes in and you have a fika with that person. I think the difference is that you actually sit down somewhere else, and that's very important, I think.
We are reinventing the coffee break in the United States with the help of Sweden. We're talking to the authors of the new book, Fika, The Art of the Swedish Coffee Break. We have Johanna Kinvall and Anna Bronis with us now. Let's start to get to some of the food. I understand that these things are cinnamon buns and cardamom buns. Johanna, I'll ruin this here. Vetebular?
Vetebular, yes.
Not too bad, not too bad. So tell us what a vetebular is and how we make that.
Oh, vetebular is a sweet dough that is made of yeast and milk and flour and sugar. Not so much sugar. They're not so sweet, really. But then you often fill them with cinnamon and butter and sugar, or cardamom and butter. And sugar, of course, and you roll them into different shapes, and then you put some eggs on them, and the white sugar that we call pärlsocker, which is a pearl sugar that actually doesn't melt in the oven, and you can also put nuts on them, of course, and there's other fillings as well, like almond paste and a lot of orange and a lot of different.
Now, are these complicated and time-consuming to make? I know with a typical sort of yeasted roll, it's a bit of a time investment.
Yes, it is. But it's not so bad. It takes quite quick to put it together, and then you let it rise for an hour, and then you shape it, and then you let it rise a little bit more, like an hour more, I think, and then you bake it. And the baking is quite quick; it's like 10 minutes.
We've got that recipe, by the way, at WPR.org. Find the Central Time page, and we've got actually a few recipes from the book there. Let's check out another one. This is the one that I'm insisting somebody make soon. It's a hazelnut. Well, it's sort of a hazelnut coffee cake, but it's not really a coffee cake. Hazelnutskaka med kaffe. Huh? Pretty close there? Anna?
Yeah, good job.
Now, this one, it's not really a coffee cake, but it's a cake as hazelnut, and then there's coffee added into it, which sounds fantastic. Can you talk us through that one, Anna?
Yeah, so a really common cake that you'll find in Sweden is a sockerkaka, which basically means sugar cake. Similar sort of to a sponge cake here in the U.S., except a little bit denser. And so there are a couple cakes in the book that Johanna and I did that are sort of riffs off of that. So this one, what's a little bit different about it, is that it's made with mostly hazelnuts. There's a little bit of flour in there, but it's mostly ground hazelnuts. And that gives it a really nice texture as well as flavor, because we toast the hazelnuts before grinding them. So it gives you this kind of like well-bodied flavor, which then paired with a little bit of coffee in it, just makes, if you love coffee, you will love this cake, I promise, because it's dense, it's moist, and it just has this really nice coffee flavor. And when I say dense, I don't mean like a really, really heavy cake, because it's made using eggs. And what we do is we actually separate the egg yolk and the egg white, and then the egg white is whipped into kind of a meringue. So it gives it kind of this like a bit lighter of a flavor, but you're still getting that moist texture that I really like in cake. I'm really opposed to dry cake, so this is the perfect cake in my opinion.
So a couple of things strike me listening to you talk about the cinnamon rolls and the hazelnut coffee cake. One is that they sound delicious and I want to eat them. But the other thing is that in America, if you try to sell people on stopping twice a day and eating cake, basically, people are so afraid of sugar, Anna. Are people going to cotton on to this, given that, you know, you're basically eating cake a couple extra times a day?
Well, I think the important thing to remember is that often if you go to Sweden, even if people are taking coffee breaks every day, you know, they're not eating a huge piece of cake at 10 a.m. in the morning and 2 p.m. in the afternoon every single day. You know, if they are eating something sweet, it's probably a very small amount. And then you'll often find that on weekends there'll be a fika that's a bit more special. So maybe then you'll indulge in something a little bit bigger. And I think that the important thing with the recipes in this book is that the focus is that it's all, you know, it's all whole ingredients, it's all natural ingredients. And in our opinion, Johanna and I really believe in the idea that if you use good ingredients, then you have a really good flavor, and then you don't need to eat as much. So you can get away with eating, you know, you just need a smaller slice of the cake or a smaller cookie, and that's going to be really satisfying. But certainly, I think a lot of Swedes will tell you that, you know, they're not eating 3 cardamom buns a day. as Julia Child said once, you know, all good things in moderation, including moderation. Mm-hmm.
And as a counterpoint, what happens when donuts show up here at Wisconsin Public Radio? Many of us seem to have no trouble eating them. But Johanna, you mentioned in the book has some savory recipes in it for rye bread and things like that. It isn't just the sweet stuff, right? Sometimes people do some kind of open-faced sandwich or a savory ingredient, Johanna.
Yeah, no, that's true. And often when you go to a cafe and in the afternoon with a friend, it's not always you choose to have a cinnamon bun, for example, but then you can choose to have an open-faced sandwich instead. And often they're very simple. Often it's just with cheese and a little bit of red pepper or cucumber or pickles. And it could also be a liver pate and with the pickles, which sounds maybe odd to have with the coffee, but, it works. And and it's also if you haven't had so much for lunch, you may think it's nicer to have a sandwich. But they're often very small, so it's a good... treat.
We're talking right now with Johanna Kinvall. She's an illustrator and food blogger, and Anna Bronis, a freelance food writer. And they're the co-authors of today's Food Friday discussion, Fika, the Art of the Swedish Coffee Break.
And we want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. A lot of different questions for you. First, do you like this idea of a more dedicated a coffee break during the workday, a coffee break with some kind of treats? Do you do this, or do you wish you did it? And then have you had these kind of Swedish sweet snacks, these cakes, Hasselnutskaka Med Cafe, Semlor, Vetabular? I get way more opportunity to try Swedish on the show than I ever would have thought. We've got recipes for those three things that I just missaid over on the Wisconsin Public Radio website. Call in now, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post your comments on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And for this week's Food Friday, we're talking about the art of the Swedish coffee break. And we want to hear from you. Do you wish that you could take more time out of your day to unwind with a cup of coffee, maybe a little open-faced rye sandwich and a cardamom bun to go along with it? Well, give us a call. Let us know what you think. The Central Time Facebook page works too. Our number to call in is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234.
And you have a favorite Swedish-style pastry, whether for regular day use or for special occasions. We're talking to food writer Anna Bronis and food writer and illustrator Johanna Kinvall. Their new book is called Fika, The Art of the Swedish Coffee Break. We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Jean on the line in Madison. Jean, hi.
Hi. I actually just went to Sweden in April, and it was really wonderful. I was doing some research in a museum, and so got to experience Fika in the workplace firsthand. And I have to say, it is, in fact, a really wonderful little break in the afternoon, a chance to mingle with other researchers and coworkers. And, you know, it was an interesting way to do, afternoon collaboration over really good coffee and speech.
So you did talk shop a little bit. You did talk about work things during this week, this coffee break.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of it was social, but because, you know, it's a museum, people were working on things that were of mutual interest. And so it was very, very fun.
And Gina, I got to ask, did you have a favorite treat on these breaks?
Oh, those cinnamon buns. I don't know what they put in them, but they're so good.
Jean, thank you so much for sharing that. So, Johanna, people do talk about work. It isn't just sociable, but it's I don't know, they're stepping away from the day-to-day tasks during this, aren't they?
Yeah, no, definitely. And also, I was thinking now when I heard Jean that it's actually also really to get to know your coworkers better. When I started work here in New York, it was something that I missed a lot, that we didn't have those breaks that I could actually get to know my new colleagues. And so I felt it took much longer time to get into the group. So fika have a good purpose there.
Interesting. Dual purposes there for fika. Well, thanks a lot, Jean, for that call. And we're going to go next to Deborah joining us from Brown Deer. Deborah, hi.
Hi, I'm actually from the UP of Michigan, but anyway, my great grandfather was from Stockholm, but our neighbors when I was a child were from the Lundqvist. They were Swedish, and they would make, I believe they were called rosettes, and I wondered if your guest could help me on this, but there was like a rosette iron, and you dipped it into batter and then into hot oil on the stove. Oh, they were just awesome.
And they're kind of thin and crispy, aren't they? At least the ones I'm thinking of. What about that, Anna, rosettes?
Yeah, Johanna might be better able to answer this question than I am, but those are a little bit older, and I think that they do them more in Norway than in Sweden, but I think Johanna might be able to answer that better than I can.
They're definitely common in Sweden, but I think it's all their old recipe, and I think it's more the older who does it, the older generation. But I remember them when I was growing up in the countryside, and they're called Klenetta, I think.
Klenetta.
All right, Deborah, thanks so much for the call at 800-642-1234. That reminds me, that sounds like more of a holiday treat, and you've got a section of the book devoted to more special occasion things. One of the recipes we've got on the Wisconsin Public Radio website is semlor, a Swedish cream bun. Can you tell us about that, Johanna?
Semlor, yeah, you eat them for Fat Tuesday in the autumn?
In the spring, yep.
Early, late winter. But in Sweden, they actually start to sell them already after Christmas, and they have them in the cafes and bakeries for 3 months, pretty much. And it is a bun. It's very similar to the same dough as the cinnamon bun, but you make them as a bun, and then you cut them in half, and you take some of the bread out, and you fill it with almond paste, and then cream, and then you put the top on. And they're delicious.
These are called semlor, and we also have this recipe up right now on the Central Time Facebook page. If you want to start planning your weekend fika or your next the workday fika, and I want to ask you, Johanna, following up on what you said about it being a social occasion, do you have any tips if people want to institute their own workplace fika? How would you approach it?
Can you take that again?
If you want to start up a fika here in the United States, how do you suggest getting people on board?
I will suggest that you alternate to bring in something to share, like cookies or like a cake, and it doesn't have to be so much, but it doesn't have to be home baked, but it would be nice. and then you alternate. Maybe you start with once a week, like Friday afternoon, and I think that would be a good start.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, do you think we could pull this off here? I don't know.
I think we should try. For sure, yeah. And you could be on the first round of baking.
Yeah, I'm such a good baker. Well, you know, the funny thing is, all this talk of sweets, and maybe we've had too many sweets lately, what I'm really in the mood for is good rye bread. And Anna, you've got a recipe for a Swedish-style rye bread. What's the secret to making, for those who bake bread at home, making a good rye bread?
Yeah, well, so the recipe in there, what we did is that Johanna, I love this, that she's been doing this for a while, is that traditionally rye bread often is made with a dark syrup, which sort of the equivalent of that here is molasses, and it gives us this kind of like sweet flavor. But what I love what Johanna does is she uses prunes to give a little bit of sweetness to the bread, but without using, a sweetener. And that gives it this, like, sort of sweeter, more well-rounded flavor that pairs with, we have anise seeds in that one, so it gives it kind of this, like, spicy, sweet flavor. And so there are lots of different recipes for rye bread out there, but ours in particular is done over 2 days, actually. So the night before, you put boiling water on the rye flour, and that's kind of an older method that allows it to be a bit more elastic. And rye flour itself has a lower gluten content in it, so it doesn't rise in the same way that traditional wheat flour does. So this allows it to kind of expand. And then the next day, what you do is you go in and you make the bread as you would. You add in regular flour and yeast, and then you end up with these two beautiful loaves of this, like, dark, hearty bread, the kind of bread that, you know, you really, we talked about nutrition earlier, but with this type of bread, you really only need a thin slice. You know, if you have an open space sandwich, you take one or two thin slices of that, put some stuff on top. I mean, that's kind of all you need. You don't need to eat the whole loaf to feel satisfied. And you probably would stop yourself far before you got to that point.
And Johanna, once we have these two beautiful loaves of rye bread, what is your favorite way to top them off for your fika?
Oh, I think that cheese is one of my favorites on that bread. But also, actually, cured ham is also really, really nice, especially the one they do for Christmas in Sweden, which is cured and often quite mildly spiced with some cloves and stuff like that. But really, really delicious on that bread. Herring, of course.
Of course.
That doesn't work with coffee, though.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
That was Johanna.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Johanna Kinvall. She's an illustrator and blogger. Anna Bronas is a food writer and blogger. They co-wrote the cookbook we've been talking about, Fika, the Art of the Swedish Coffee Break. Talking about ways to expand and enhance our concept of the coffee break. And again, head over to Wisconsin Public Radio's website, WPR.org. Find Central Time. We've got a few of their recipes to make your coffee breaks next week a heck of a lot more fun.